Hello, everyone. You're listening to Pixel Pixel, where the X is silent, but our dance moves most definitely aren't. I am one of your hosts, Anne, and with me, as always, is your other host, Marcus.
Hello.
Hello. We, in fact, just got done dancing. I'm referring to DDR, which we've been playing a lot more of recently.
Yep.
Yep. My legs are sore, but I feel good. So we've been, we'll talk about that when we go over all the games we've been playing, but I feel like we're in a bit of a renaissance, a gaming renaissance right now. We go through phases. And you've been tinkering around with the Mister. So the first life update I wanted to talk about is how you did some finagling and now we're playing all these retro games on the Mister again. So what did you do exactly? Because I can't follow it. Maybe somebody listening can.
Yes. Okay, well, first off, just a recap for anyone who doesn't know what the Mister is. The Mister is, in its simplest terms, you could refer to it like an emulation device, game emulation device. The main difference between it and just running emulators on your computer or running them on a Raspberry Pi is those utilize software emulation, whereas the Mister uses hardware emulation. And for the most part, the distinction probably doesn't matter too much to most people. But anyway, that's what the Mister is, and I like it, and I have it. Anyway, for whatever reason, I wanted to play games on the Mister and play them on a CRT recently. And so I decided to see if I had stuff around the house to be able to do that. The first hurdle was the fact that the Mister with the audio and video output board thing that I have does not support composite or VGA cables. It has an HDMI port and it has a different port, I can't remember. But it doesn't have the one that I would need for the TV, the CRT that I have. So I already happen to have a thing that downscales HDMI to composite. So I was able to plug that in to the TV and use that, and that works. However, I also, for some reason, decided that I wanted to have the audio not come out of the CRT, but come out of the speakers that I have, surround sound speakers. And that was more of an issue. It wouldn't have been an issue if the composite cable that I had was like normal, or like what I remember composite cables to be like, which is where it's like the three cables in this flat cable and you could like kind of pull them apart so that the audio and the two audio cables and the video cable can be like really separated. If that was something I could do with the cable that I had, then I would have been able to easily put the video cable into the CRT and then like split apart the audio cables and put them over to the receiver thing, which is not that far from the CRT. However, it had this plastic thing on it, so I couldn't do that. And so I was like, oh. And then and I actually didn't have any like random spare, I didn't have any spare composite cables for, actually, I did. I had one, but I think the thing is that the composite cable was hardwired into the downscaler, so I couldn't like unplug it and replace it. So then what I ended up doing was the Mister to a HDMI to composite downscaler, and the composite end of the downscaler is plugged in to the receiver, and then the receiver outputs with composite to the CRT. And it's more work than probably needs to be, but it's working, so I'm glad. And so we're able to play games on our CRT. I guess probably the most authentic way to play an emulator. If you're playing it, you know, if you're not actually using the real hardware, and then having the added benefit and the weird benefit of having the speaker set up with it, because, you know, certainly when I was growing up, playing games on a CRT, I didn't have a surround sound system and my speakers to go, you know, with that. It was just like the TV's speakers. So it's fun and it's interesting. You know, it's like a higher version of the experience that I remember as a child, like a more, a better version, I guess.
Refined.
Refined.
I guess. Mm-hmm. Wow, that was a lot, but I got to just enjoy watching you do it. Well, it wasn't super enjoyable because you were very frustrated for a bit, but you figured it out and then we were both happy and we got to reap the benefits.
Yes.
And, you know, you said you don't know why you were thinking of doing this, but I remember it's because we got the new couch. So we had nice spot to sit because before we weren't sitting in that room in front of the CRT.
Yeah.
But now you're just sitting there staring at it. It's like, well, now we got to use it. Mm-hmm. So we enjoyed sitting on our couch and played a whole bunch of games, which we'll talk about after we talk about some other things. That's a little teaser for later of what retro games we've been playing. But as for me, I made my first pins. So I made some enamel pins with a company called GS-JJ. GSJJ is a company that manufactures like all kinds of different custom stuff, like pins and stickers and lanyards and what have you. And I get a lot of these like cold emails, you know, from random manufacturers and things. And often they're pretty like, you know, go straight to spam or, you know, I trash right away because they sound super generic and they don't even know who I am or whatever. But this one seemed like they had a little bit of inkling, like they looked at my Instagram at least. And I've always wanted to make pins. So when they were like, hey, would you like to do a collab and like feature, you know, the pin design that you make on your Instagram? I said, sure. So I did, it's not like a full enamel pin. Oops, like you think of, or at least what I think of when I think of enamel, where it's like got a kind of metal outline. It's very specific, like single color fills of either soft and hard enamel. This is more like it's a printed, like printout, and then slapped on the pin and then like covered in some kind of gloss or something, which is so cool. It's just a different type of pin than what you might be thinking of. It's different than what I kind of thought of when I first thought in my head of enamel pins, but it worked well with the art that I already had, because if you want to do the other type of enamel pin I'm talking about, you really have to design the artwork a specific way. Like you would have to, I would have had to redo the artwork and maybe vector it and then make sure that it would work well as that type of pin. So I was able to take some art that I already had and make these cute pins with it. It's cut out in the shape of the design and you can pick like what type of metal you want, what kind of backing you have, want to have on it, and what packaging you want and all that. So I think I got like 5 or 6 samples that I then featured in a Instagram post and a YouTube short. And I'm working on a little blog post just to talk about the process a bit more. That was not required by them. They asked me to do the 2 video posts and then put a link in my bio to their store. So I was happy to do that. But yeah, I'd like to write about it a bit more. But yeah, as for the design, I did this Shiba Inu piece that I made a while back. And I don't think I shared it everywhere, but I definitely shared it at least once on Blue Sky. But it's basically based on the dog ending of Silent Hill 2, where is it Mira? Mira is the one behind the whole events of Silent Hill 2. And she's wearing like a little headset because mm-hmm. she's at the computer like doing everything. And so James, you know, bursts into the room and it's like, you were behind this all along or something like that. Anyway, I just think it's cute. And, you know, obviously I love Shiba. So I just got in my head that I wanted to do that. So I did. And I think it worked out pretty well as a pin. I'm very happy with it. And if you like to check it out, I'll put a link in the description of the show notes so you can click the link and see the video. So, yeah. And Marcus got one, too.
Yep.
So that was fun. Thank you, GSJJ. I'm sure they're not listening. But anyway, I appreciate that they reached out and it worked out well. So now we shall move on to some news. As always, news is just like kind of whatever we feel like. So I'll be honest, you know, there was the Sony State of Play Japan today, and we reviewed it, and we're like, nah. This is the thing we really want to say, so we're not going to talk about it. But things we do want to talk about, Marcus, you got things to talk about that are very important.
So important. But yes, a couple of random things. So the first thing on the docket is that Manga Gamer released a new 18 plus visual novel on Steam, and it is called Sleepless: A Midsummer Night's Dream. And I think that the artist behind it, you know, I'm a fan of the artist. They've done other works, most famously Bible Black, but also other things. Anyway, so this is just a new release. And something that I found interesting is that that Manga Gamer felt comfortable enough to release it on Steam in 18 plus format, meaning no patch required. A lot of the times, to be safe, visual novel developers would always like release like a cut version of the game and then offer like a free patch outside of Steam. So you would have to know, and they couldn't even like advertise it or link to the patch on Steam anywhere. But that's how a lot of developers have been doing it over time. So I don't know what's going on with this one, especially because when you look at the mature content description, it includes things that, you know, earlier this year when Steam and Itch were hit by payment processor demands effectively to remove certain types of content, and then a lot of content was removed from sale or easy access. Itch, I think, revealed what some of the things that they were told were not allowed anymore were. And this list of mature content on Sleepless, some of it, I feel, overlaps with that list. For example, let's see what they say. This game contains fictional representations of the following: nudity, sexual interactions, including consensual sex, non-consensual sex, bondage, mammary intercourse, oral sex, breast milk, incest, feces, and urine. So the things that stand out: non-consensual, incest, and bodily fluids.
Yeah.
All of those were things that Itch specifically called out as not being allowed, or that was troublesome as part of everything that happened. So I really don't know. You know, it's not like Manga Game or some indie developer who knows nothing. They should know quite a bit about everything that has gone on with visual novels and Steam over the past years, over this year. So I don't know. It's interesting. I bought it immediately because I'm like, it might not be available for much longer.
Well, when did it come out again?
It came out at the end of October. Yes. Okay. And it's still there.
It's still there. So someone's sleeping at the wheel.
I don't know. I really don't know. Anyway, I thought it was interesting that it was fine.
Yeah, I don't know how these decisions get made, like, you know, with Manga Gamer deciding to put it on full, you know, not requiring the patch, and then it getting through Steam. Because I know from being in the game industry, like, officially for a hot minute, that, you know, Steam submissions, they do look at things, they do review them. I was privy to some of that process of submitting games and the difficulties with that. So they're looking at it. So I don't know. They went it through.
I don't know. I mean, it still falls under my old theory that the only thing that Steam cares about is if you have characters that wear schoolgirl outfits. All the characters in this game look like adults. But, you know, I thought that things might have changed because of
the payment process.
What all happened. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, the Itch guidelines that they published, that supposedly they were told, didn't seem to really specify, like, this stuff is okay if it's adults. It was just like, no bodily fluids, you know, things like that. So yeah,
who knows? Don't know,
but you've got it now. So at least that's there. As for other news, it was something that we actually just noticed right before hitting record, but game developer Art Dink is back with an update that they are starting this Art Dink Game Log program. It's so fun to say their name, Art Dink. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good name.
Anyway. Yes, it is. One of my like top favorite video game developer names.
It's very good.
That and Clap Hands.
That one's good too.
Clap Hands from Everybody's Golf.
Oh, okay. Good. I like it. Well, anyway, Art Dink, I'll say it again, announced that they will be re-releasing some of their classic titles, and that will be ported for PC and Switch. First up, they're doing Tale of the Sun, which is coming out on December 16th in Japan. I just had a look at the PC page on Steam. It says that is going to be Japanese language only, so at least for now, that's what they're doing. And then they will be releasing Aquanaut's Holiday in 2026. So that's fun. We tried to play Tale of the Sun one time. That one is very convoluted.
Yes. I mean, I think you could probably read something and figure out how to play it well.
Uh-huh.
But it was funny failing.
Yeah, it is. It's a very funny game to not know what you're doing in. Yeah. And I love that if you go to the Steam page, literally the first screenshot is just the caveman like snoring on his side. Like he's just fallen over on the spot. Because that's what happens when it becomes night. They just flop over on the ground. That's what I do too. And then finally, you know, you're not super active in the game journalism side of things anymore, but you still get all the press releases and you had a good one that came in. So share that with us.
Yes. So I saw the subject line, Metal Gear Solid gift sets, and I was like, I wonder what that's about. Gift sets of what? And so when I opened it, at first I thought it was G Fuel, which is Gatorade's drinks, whatever line, because they do have a collab with Metal Gear Solid. But it is not. Instead, the gift set is branded bath and body products.
And what everyone was clamoring for, the collab of a lifetime.
Yeah, so this is the hot news that you only get here at Pixel Pixel. Mm-hmm. But basically, I had a good laugh at it. You get a collection with four body lotions, a shampoo and shower gel duo, and a soap on a rope. So, you know, everybody is clamoring to get this.
So is it four body lotions of different scents? I mean, that's a lot of body lotion.
I mean, I hope it's different scents. Why would you want four of the same one?
Yeah, I don't want four at all, in fact.
Yeah.
Also, I gotta say, it screams this is for men because they don't put conditioner in it. It only comes with a shampoo.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you guys aren't going to use conditioner anyway. But, hey, I don't use conditioner
well myself. It definitely has masculine scent profiles for the items. Let me see. For example, spearmint. I mean, not to say that anyone can enjoy these scents, but they're often for masculine coated products.
Yep.
Sandalwood,
mm-hmm.
classic. But yeah, it's just... It's very funny to me. And then we looked at this company's website, Numskull, and we found out that they have this line of, they have lines of video game rubber ducks as well.
Yeah, the rubber duck toys are called Tubbs, which I hate. Tubbs with two B's and a Z. And they call them collectibles. And
I just rolled my eyes.
They've got Grinch ones on there, and they had Back to the Future and Resident Evil and Metal Gear, of course.
You know what? If they had Silent Hill one, I might need one.
No, I didn't see any. I clicked the Silent Hill link, and so the Silent Hill connection is they have four Silent Hill figures,
mm-hmm.
which you totally dropped the ball on. They released the Heather one like in 2023, and you missed that.
I guess I mostly pay attention to like... more well-renowned.
Yeah. So all creations. These statues for Silent Hill, they have at like $129.99, which is these days, like I sound like a snob, but that's pretty cheap like for a figure. Like if you want a good figure like from a Japanese company, they're usually 200 plus, like easy. So I had a look at the James Sunderland one, and he was pretty wonky looking. So I don't think you're missing out on anything. But this company is very odd. I've never heard of them, but they're doing all these ducks and video game and pop culture collabs, and they're doing ducks of all kind of things. And I want to know who's buying these, aside from the people that like to put ducks on Jeeps because that's a fad. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the market. It's the duck Jeep.
The market for rubber duck collectors.
Yep. It's hot right now. Anyway, there's your hot news from Pixel. And with that, let's move into what we've been playing and watching. First of all, as I mentioned in the intro, we've been playing a lot of DDR, specifically Dance Dance Revolution Max and Max 2. That's kind of where we've been focusing so far. And I'm not sure what the impetus of this was. We certainly played it together before. I guess I just wanted to, you know, work out, and I was in the mood. I thought we should try out all the dance pads you have, because you have way too many.
Was that really it? Just like, oh, let's check out these dance pads and exercise?
Yeah, it was a little bit of that. Yeah. I think, again, it all comes back to the new couch. Because we moved a bunch of stuff around, the pads emerged. And I thought that we should test them so that we didn't have a pile of, you know, broken pads just sitting around. So that was kind of the start of it. And then I think we did test a couple that weren't working. Yes. And then we got to ones that were working. And I was like, yeah, let's keep playing. And then it's been a fun way to work out. So we've been enjoying that. And yeah. I mean, do you have any words about DDR?
I enjoy DDR. It's good. Yes, it's very so fun. Good. It's so and fun. I want to, I don't know if I said this to you, I want to unlock all the songs in all the PS2 releases, anyway.
Oh, well, I figured you wanted to unlock all the songs in the ones we were playing, but you had not, made that statement verbally, so thank you. We're working on it. So you did used to have save files, but you also save files, so we are starting from zero, from scratch on all of them, aren't we?
Yes, we're starting from scratch. You could always download a save file from the internet, but I'm like, well, whatever, I'll just do it.
It's fun. Yeah. It's a fun goal.
It's not that hard either, especially on Max 2, where if you play with 2-player, you unlock things twice as fast.
Yeah, that was a cool thing to figure out.
Yeah.
And we did learn also that DDR Max, maybe some guys on the internet claim that you can unlock songs in workout mode, but it doesn't seem like you can. Or they're getting confused with Max and Max 2. Anyway, Max, you can unlock them in arcade mode. And it doesn't matter whether you're 1 or 2 player, same speed of unlocking. But in Max 2, you can do arcade mode and then get double points, which accumulate to unlock songs. So that's fun. And I'm enjoying it.
Me too.
And then next, you finished Blippo Plus, finally. Did you have any final thoughts you wanted to share about that? I know we talked about it a lot already.
Well, Blippo 2 is longer than I thought it was going to be. It was like 6 or 7 hours in the end on my the Steam hours thing. So that was surprising. I thought it would be like 2 or 3 hours because it's a lot of content. It's a lot of video. And, you know, that's not easy to produce. You know, most of these like FMV games are hovering around that 2 to 3 hour mark. So that's what I was expecting. So it was surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasantly surprised, but it was surprising. The only thing I felt let down by is I feel like the ending just kind of is there and then it's over and you don't really get a good conclusion unless I just missed it, which is possible. You do get a little like after scene in the credits kind of, but only a little. So I don't know. I might have just kind of missed something or I don't know. Like I know what happened in the story. I just feel like I wanted more of a stronger conclusion to it. But still, it was a lot of fun, and I'm glad that I played it, and I'm glad that it exists. And I would like to see these people do something else in the future, but I don't know, because their main thing wasn't video games. I don't know if they would make another video game, or just like one and done, but it could be cool.
Yeah, it was a very cool thing. I do agree about the ending, but I'm curious, like, obviously, you unlock new content and you get those new packages, right? And then you get new episodes. And I think it determines that you get those new episodes by having watched all the old ones, or at least it's having watched a portion
of a majority, but yeah. You don't have to watch it to 100%.
Right. So that could be the same thing. Like, you could unlock the credits rolling without seeing 100%, which could mean you potentially miss a little bit of something, right? Yeah. So that's a bit of a shame, like, if you want to see everything. And it doesn't really have, it doesn't have achievements, right? So it doesn't have any way to really track, like, you know, how, what you've watched and what you haven't watched or something. So I guess you could always look it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad you liked it. It was very cool. I hope they do something else too. Then this is the rapid fire section where we go through all of the retro games we're playing on the Mister. So we really focused mostly together on co-op games. But before we started playing together, you randomly picked up one for yourself.
Yes. So yeah, I started playing Donald Duck Going Quackers on N64. Why? Because I like Donald Duck. I feel like this game was ported to GameCube, and at some point I had it, but playing this game, I have like zero recollection of anything that happened in it. So maybe the GameCube game is different, or I'm misremembering or something. But either way, I started playing this. It's a lot like, what is the Sony platformer with the orange guy?
The orange guy, Crash Bandicoot. Crash Bandicoot.
It's very similar to Crash Bandicoot, I feel, where some levels are, you know, when you're running forward, some levels are like side scrolling, some levels are towards the camera, but it's all platforming. So it feels a lot like that. Except with Donald Duck, you're trying to save Daisy, and like your cousin or something is out trying to save her too, whoever he is. And so you're like on the race to beat him. To find Daisy.
Wait, why do you have to beat your cousin? Isn't it a communal effort to find Daisy?
No, they both want her for themselves, I guess.
Whoa, okay.
So it's like, no, Donald wants to save Daisy.
Okay.
Only.
Got it.
Exclusively.
Yeah.
It's fine. In the first section, it felt very easy. And I like that. I like easy until I got to the boss fight, and then I was mad because it's like one hit kill. And also it's insulting because the enemy is a giant chicken and it kills you by like sitting on you. And then it like rubs its butt on you as you're like squished and dead. So it's insulting on top of everything else.
Wow. Like you suck.
Yes.
Shouldn't the chicken and Donald being a duck get along? Like, does the chicken have motivation?
No.
Okay.
But anyway, I did finally beat it, the level. I have not beaten the game. I may try to. It doesn't seem too bad. But I don't know yet. Maybe I'll get over it and just never finish it. I do like, though, that you can unlock outfits for Donald. I think that's a nice random perk of the game. So it seems pretty straightforward, simple. And maybe I'll keep playing it. I don't know. But it was a fun little time waster, at least.
Good. I feel like that was one of the first games you tried after you got the sound working.
Yes.
That's a good way to experience that surround sound with Donald. Then for the multiplayer games we're playing, first we tried Contra Hardcore, which... I've never played it before. Maybe we played it briefly together before, but not very long.
Mm-hmm.
But this time we juiced it up with a bunch of cheats. So that, I don't know, we had like a 99 lives or something, right?
A life code.
There is no way I basically can't play any retro games without a lot of help because they're all horrible and hard and I suck. I don't know how anyone could play Contra like normally. Seems way too hard.
I think it is very hard, but... And I'm speaking more about the original Contra now, just thinking about it.
Okay.
That I think a lot of these games, it's kind of like you need to play them enough to understand what's going to happen and what the patterns are, how the enemies move and what they do, and so that you're able to effectively dodge them. But it does seem very hard, so I don't really know. I don't know.
I just feel that I'm not the kind of person that would ever want to spend that amount of time. It's the same thing with shmups, maybe, like a hard shmup. You have to really learn the patterns, and then the goal is to just get really good at doing these very precise things. Someone's probably going to be like yelling at their, you know, podcast right now, being like, no, that's not how a shmup is. But that's my impression. I don't really like these games where you have to be extremely precise in order to beat it. I'm saying all that, but if you, you know, do a cheat code and you get 99 lives, then it doesn't really matter. So we get to experience, like, the cool design and, you know, levels and aesthetic without having to worry about the fact that it's devilishly hard. So I like that. Contra was interesting. There were a lot of weird, like, bosses and a lot of cool music and stuff like that. So I enjoyed playing it. But, man, yeah, we burned through, like, I think it was something like 80 lives. Like, so we were pretty close yes. to burning through all of them by the end. But we did beat it.
Yeah, it was a lot of lives lost, but it was fun. And, you know, I'm not looking to challenge myself. So I am completely happy to cheat my way through, because at least then I just get to see the game and be like, okay, this is cool. I like to see the levels, get to hear the music, all the fun stuff of the game. And I'm not going to be going around like, oh, I'm so good, I beat Contra. No, I didn't. Not in a real way. I just, you know, did the easy way through. And that's fine.
Yeah, I guess it's not really any different from like, oh, I can't play this game myself normally, so I'm going to watch someone stream it or like watch a Let's Play. But In this case, you are playing it. You're just playing it the easier way.
Yeah.
Then next game we played easy mode on was Wild Guns. Now, Wild Guns, that was all for the SNES. All of these are for SNES, right? Contra Hardcore
Contra
2?
I'm not sure. Was Contra... I don't know. We might have played it on Genesis. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
Either way, all that era.
Yep. So Wild Guns was a Wild West crossover with like sci-fi, mech, robot stuff, shooter game. But you're playing in a third-person view behind the character shooting away from you. But it almost has like a shooting gallery type feel to it. I think it's kind of like a shooting gallery. And this game was developed by Natsume, which is really interesting. So I think I was just looking at lists of like, you know, kind of underrated, underappreciated SNES co-op games. So I picked this one and I just love the aesthetic. It's so fun. I love the Wild West. Maybe I'm partial to it because the girl protagonist is named Annie. Which was my nickname growing up. So I played as Annie. And there was a lot of fun stuff going on in that. So I really liked it. But again, we had to basically get like an infinite life G code because it was hard. It was particularly hard. I think aiming was kind of finicky. Mm-hmm. And the worst part is when you play two players, they don't change the color of the like circle reticle for aiming. So I constantly got confused. It does like have one player or two player above it. But I still will find myself being like, wait, where am I? Where am I? And then my reticle was all the way on the left side of the screen or something. And you were shooting and I was doing nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay.
But it was fun. What'd you think?
I thought it was cute. I like that for whatever reason Natsume was like, okay, we're doing Wild West Shooter. And also there's robots. Yep. Because it's a very random thing, I feel. But they did it and it's cute. I like it. I was thinking about when we were playing it, like, I was like, I thought I remember that there was some sort of remake or something. And there is. There's Wild Guns Reloaded, which came out at some point in time.
Uh-huh.
Some point when I was still going to E3.
Okay. That's a while ago.
I remember Natsume's booth having it.
Oh, cute.
But just for reference, now that we've played this, Wild Guns Reloaded has two new characters.
What?
And you can play up to four players.
Oh, no, that's cute.
There's there's classic and new stages and new boss enemies and special weapons.
What?
Yeah.
Did people like it? Like, was it well regarded?
Let's see what Steam says. I can't. Very positive.
Okay.
Oh, look, Capsule J.
Oh, hey, Capsule J. What? This is live recording, everyone. Oh, that's cute. Oh, there you go.
So Cap recommended it.
Okay. Well, if Cap recommends
I think,
it.
I mean, I was thinking, I thought like he played it on stream maybe. We didn't watch it.
Can you see the date of the recommendation?
September 27th. Yeah, I think he played it.
Wait, recently?
September 27th. I thought so. We weren't around or something to see it.
Unless I'm just totally misremembering it. I'm embarrassed. Sorry. Wow, I don't remember at all. Would it count as a shmup then? Is that what?
Maybe, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, my mind's being blown. Right in the middle of the podcast.
Yeah, we were just busy I don't remember. I was like, I think he played that.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Okay, that's cool. Well, I enjoyed the original. I would play the remake.
Yeah. Well, if they let you cheat.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they make it easy or something.
Well, Cap beat it.
Yeah, well, I think he's good at games. He plays shmups, like, seriously, so I wouldn't say that we have the same skill level
okay,
as Capital
fair.
J.
That's fair.
Anyway, then moving on to the final one, I'm not sure why we picked up this one, but a random pick to finish off the co-op track we were on recently is Capcom's Knights of the Round. So this is like a King Arthur themed side-scrolling, would you call it beat-em-up? Is that the term?
Sure.
Like a
beat-em-up, hack-and-slash.
Hack-and-slash, yeah. Like, as you said, everything at the time. But for me, it was very much like, oh, this is Golden Axe, because that's my frame of reference. Mm-hmm. So, like that. But I guess the unique thing about this one is that you level up the characters.
Yeah.
So they level up, and their armor gets cooler as you go through. So they get, like, gold armor.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who is 3/4 naked becomes half naked. So he gets a little more armor. So that one was fun. And we also used some cheat codes so that we wouldn't die. I think that one was a little more annoying because I think you got the 3 lives, but it was like infinite continues. And then if we did both die and we both got to the continue screen and we, you know, at the same exact time, we would get booted out of the level. But yeah. Luckily, it would start you in the same part of the level. So, like, if you were at the boss, you would jump back in at the boss. You wouldn't have to start over from the beginning. So that was good. But we had to be careful, especially on the final boss. Who I remember the final boss being kind of anticlimactic.
It wasn't that hard or interesting.
Yeah, it just had like very samey patterns. It wasn't like, oh my god, this big crazy final boss. So in terms of like bosses, I would say it wasn't as impressive as say Contra or Wild Guns. I don't even know if like people liked this game or if it was well regarded or anything. It's just a random pick, honestly. But it was fine. It's cool to have like a medieval theme after playing a bunch of funky kind of sci-fi stuff.
True, yeah. And I was just thinking about it. Basically, the way we're playing these games is if we're playing an arcade game with, like, infinite coins, you know?
Yeah.
Because in the arcade, they were similarly very hard games. But, you know, if you had money, you could keep playing. You keep getting more
true.
Lives.
Yeah. Oh, man. I wonder how much we should pretend, like, okay, every time we die, that's another quarter, right? How much would you be spending? Mm-hmm. But you're right. And like, part of me is like, oh, we're kind of, you know, we're cheating. It's not really how they're meant to be played. Like, I don't feel bad necessarily, but, you know, you do think that of it. But when you say it like that, it's like, well, people would play it like that if they had the money. You know, that's how it is played. You just keep throwing quarters in it.
And maybe eventually get good.
Yeah, the idea is eventually you would get good enough that maybe you only needed 3/4 to beat it versus 20 quarters or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. I feel better now. Anyway, I'm sure we'll continue to play some co-op games and try out different stuff and report back. Then finally, we're going to finish things up today with a couple of movies. We've sort of taken a break a bit from the Vinegar Syndrome watching. I guess we've kind of been busy. We've been thinking about our Japan trip and doing other stuff. So we didn't watch a lot of movies and playing all those games. But we did watch a couple Halloween movies. In fact, one very special movie that I've been wanting to watch for a long time, The Worst Witch. This is the film that, if you're familiar, there's a very, I would say, famous, internet famous clip of Tim Curry singing a song about Halloween. Shall I sing a little? It's so I was like, anything can happen on Halloween. And he has like a, would you say it's a pink suit? I'm not really sure what the color of the suit is, but very like bright colored suit and a big cape. And he does some crazy dancing, mm-hmm. and there are all these weird special effects. Like, the people were had a lot of fun editing it. Yep. And so that, for me, has become a tradition that every year on Halloween I watch it, thanks to you. I think you introduced me to it many years ago, because you know I like Tim Curry and goofy mm-hmm. things. And that clip is actually from this movie called The Worst Witch. I think it's like a British movie, isn't it?
Or, I don't know.
Okay, I don't really know anything about it aside from it's like a made-for-TV movie for kids. It's about a girl who is at a school for witches, and she's not very good at it, and she gets bullied. And then Tim Curry's role in all of this is that he's like the head mage or something, head magician, and everybody thinks he's like the best guy ever, and so he goes around to all the schools and like makes appearances and talks to the teachers and like does performances for the kids, and you know, is like just this inspiring figure in the witch and wizard community. But yet everyone has crushes on him, which is mm-hmm. really funny. So all these like prepubescent girls are being like, oh my god, he's so amazing, and like looking at pictures of him and freaking out. And so when they find out he's gonna come to the school on Halloween to celebrate with them and like have a special appearance, they all are like freaking out like he's some major celebrity, like a musician or something, rock star or something. That was very silly. Did you have any thoughts about this one?
I thought it was very cute, a very nice kids movie.
Yeah.
I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah, me too. It was very cute. Yeah.
Oh, I like that she has a cute little kitty.
Yes.
And it's like the only kitty that's not the black one. Yeah. It's like, oh, here's the like random one for you because mm-hmm. you're the bad student. And I thought it was cute.
Yeah, there's a whole scene where all the witch girls like are getting, you know, their familiar cat. And so they're all given black cats except for the worst witch main girl gets the shoddy one at the bottom. But it's still very cute. I love the idea that the teacher comes out with his big basket and lifts the lid and it's just teeming with kittens. Like, man, mm-hmm. that would be pretty good. Yeah, something about it, well, I think I kind of can place it's thematically similar to Kiki's Delivery Service in that it's about a girl trying to become a witch and struggling with her powers, you know, trying to prove herself, right? That's base level. So there are similarities there. So if you like that story of Kiki and like her trying to find her place, it's similar in that regard. In this movie, you know, the girl is going to school with other girls, but you know, there's the witch who like makes fun of her because she's not very good at casting spells and things, and you know, gets bullied a little bit, but then she shows everyone that she actually can do it because she saves the day by kind of really. No, there were some evil witches that wanted to do something bad, but it was never really clear what they were going to do. But she somehow apprehends them and turns them into snails.
Yes.
So it was a very, very cute film. And we found this just on YouTube, right? It's not really streaming anywhere. I think it's just
online. I didn't see it streaming in any platforms, free or paid. But yes, someone uploaded it on YouTube, so that's how we watched it.
Yeah. I would definitely recommend it. I thought it wouldn't be able to be as good as that clip of Tim Curry singing, but it was pretty good. I could see it becoming like a classic Halloween rewatch.
Yeah.
Something that will not be a Halloween rewatch is Halloween 3, which you were telling me at some point, you couldn't remember if it was Halloween 2 or 3, but there was one early Halloween movie that's like not at all related to the original story, mm-hmm. doesn't have Michael Myers in it or anything. And that, in fact, is Halloween 3. It's about an evil Halloween mask company that is creating masks to control children and maybe explode their brains or something. I don't really know what they're doing.
It's not controlling them. Yeah, it's just to
kill them. Okay, no control, just death. Why? Because they can.
It's going to take their power. Energy. It's like sacrificing a bunch of people will do something.
Yeah. The subtitle is Season of the Witch, so yes. It is witch-related again, but I guess the witch is the man that owns the mask company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Warlock? Wizard? Whatever.
I mean, but they called
called it Season of the Witch, yes.
And very odd premise in that, so the main character that we're following is like, there's this guy who, was he a policeman? Or something? I'm actually not sure. I don't remember. But he went to investigate it. And then the girl who is the daughter of...
No, he was a doctor.
Oh, you're right. He was a... Oh, yeah. It's all coming back to me now. See, it was very forgettable. So he was a doctor. And this man at the beginning of the movie comes... I don't know if he runs into like a convenience store or something. And he's freaking out. And basically, he ends up in this hospital, and then suddenly appears dead, or they know he was killed. Don't even remember.
Killed by that man who came in, like.
Yeah, but did anyone in the hospital know that he was killed?
Yeah, because he got his eyes like poked out or something.
Oh, okay. So then, why does the doctor take it upon himself to research what happened?
Because
though?
He's into the. Man's daughter.
Yeah, okay, that's what it's all about. I was getting there. I was gonna say, so then the other key facet of this story is that for some reason this older man gets involved with the dead man's daughter, who can't be that old.
She's older than she looks.
Yeah, she does say that. She does say that. But they also like hook up in a very like unceremonious way. It's just like all of a sudden they're making out. Okay. Anyway, I know I got sidetracked there, but I think the premise is dumb. The whole thing was kind of dumb. The only part that I liked was in the intro, you know, like in Halloween 2, the whole title sequence is zooming in on a pumpkin, but this is like static on a TV, but the static is in the shape of a pumpkin. I like that. Did you have anything you liked about it?
I like that they tried something different.
True.
Although it clearly backfired for them because all the movies after that were, of course, just Halloween movies with your same killer, you know, no more one-off stories. Beyond that, I like whatever is going on with the masks. I like that it's dark. Because it's literally, we're going to kill all the children in America on Halloween.
True, yeah.
And you don't know if they succeed or not, because they don't give you an ending to tell you one way
or the other. True, yeah, you don't know. They're like trying to stop it, and it's kind of left open whether it actually works.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun.
So I like that.
You like that they want to kill all the children.
No, I like that. It's very, like, cruel in a different way than normal, I feel.
Yeah, this is like very... You know, Michael Myers' story is very focused on, you know, the one victim or, you know, small group of victims, like one person in her immediate group friend group, whereas this is like all the children in the nation, right? Because they've got some kind... I didn't really get it, but it seemed like there was almost like a mind control happening with the commercial. Was that implied that they...
I mean, maybe.
It seemed like it.
Or kids are just easily swayed by advertising.
Okay, yeah, or that. I just felt like there were a couple of scenes where they, like, sat people, even grown-ups, in front of it, and that they almost got, like, you know, brain warped from it. Maybe it's just implying that, yeah, these jingles will, like, worm their way into your brain, and then you're going to want to buy masks. But yes, that's a fun premise, but not really well executed, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Oh, well. Okay, and with that, we have come to the end of yet another episode of Pixel Pixel. And next time you hear from us, we probably will be back from Japan, unless we decide to record in Japan. So hope you will look forward to that. I'm sure we'll have lots to talk about. Thanks for listening, and we shall see you again in 2 weeks.